Well, as we look ahead to International Women's Day this Friday, the perennial question of women's participation at the highest levels of business and government is again being considered. And a new report released today has taken a look at how companies are keeping and promoting female employees across their organisation and what it says about culture in that company and performance of that company. And some surprising results have been thrown up. Zoe Witten is Head of Environmental Science and Governance Research at Citibank. She led the team behind this research. Zoe Witten, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks very much.
So you examined 137 companies listed on the ASX 200. How well are these companies doing in what we're looking at here is retention and promotion of female employees, isn't it?
Well, what we found was actually reasonably surprising to us. So we know that companies are good at hiring junior women and then sometimes really struggle to keep those women as they go up through the senior levels. What we didn't really expect, what we found when we looked at it, was there's a huge variation between sectors. Now, normally you might think, where do I think the girls are going to be really getting a go, and yep, where are they going to be struggling? You might be thinking it's mining, it's utilities, it's energy, it's those big sectors.
Male-dominated sectors, they might be struggling.
They might be struggling, but we actually found the reverse, which is to say that even though those sectors generally have lower levels of women, absolutely, in their junior ranks than, say, sectors like healthcare, they've actually had quite a lot of success, at least in the data that we can see now, getting those women up through the pipeline and up through those levels of seniority in the way we'd expect if the whole idea of hiring junior and then promoting up through the firm was actually working.
But what you also found, again counterintuitively, I think, is that the sectors include healthcare, for instance, and property, and there's a lot of women in both those sectors. That wasn't happening so strongly?
Yeah, so one of the things that was really, really interesting, and we've only got 4 years of data here, and it's some really great data, but what was really interesting is sectors like healthcare, you can actually see that curve, which represents the number of women who are junior to senior in the organisation, it's getting steeper over time, which means that even though there are more junior women coming into these organisations, and healthcare already has a very high level of general staff female participation, yes, the number of senior women is actually decreasing in the last 4 years.
Proportionally?
Yeah, well, not even proportionally, absolutely. So now we have a situation where on average in the healthcare sector, we have a lower number of women at senior levels than we do in the energy sector.
So in the healthcare sector, just making this clear, we know there's a large number of women
great
involved
pipeline
in that sector,
mm-hmm,
great pipeline, but at the top it's male-dominated, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, what is this data you're examining? Where are we getting this data?
Yeah, so in Australia, we're really, really lucky. We have this thing called the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, and for 4 years, they've been collecting data on not just the number of women in management or on board, which a lot of people have been using to study these things for a long time because you could see that, but in Australia, because of WGEA, we've got the number of women at all levels of seniority in an organisation, and that's quite extraordinary. We don't really have comparative data sets overseas, so that's allowed us to look at Australian companies in a way that we're really not able to globally.
So this is quantitative, not mm-hmm, qualitative mm-hmm data. Have you drawn conclusions from your study about what it says about the cultures, I suppose, within
these
sectors?
Yeah, well, one of the things we were really interested in, I mean, we're an investment bank and a bank, so one of the things we were very interested in is when a company is good at retaining its women, what does it mean for its performance? And as I said, we only have 4 years of data at the moment, and we've looked at 137 companies, which is not a huge sample, but it seems to be one of the things that jumped out at us is the ability to retain women as they get more senior seems to be very strongly related to the performance of the company. That is its total shareholder return. And I have to put lots and lots of grains of salt with that particular statement just because of the size of the sample. And
well, the implication there is that if you keep more women and promote them up, you have a stronger company result.
Well, possibly, yeah. And the reason we think that might be the case is because your ability to retain women may be related to your ability to retain your talent more broadly, your culture and your talent retention. So one of the interesting things is when you study the number of senior women in a company and you say, is this related to performance? The results are pretty equivocal. You know, in different markets, you find different things. Sometimes you find no relationship, sometimes a small positive relationship, but it's not kind of generally shooting the lights out style relationships. And that might be because there is, as a consequence of a lot of socio-demographic factors, quite big differences between how many women there are in different industries. The way we've looked at it, that we can now look at it because we have this data, is actually looking at the ability of women to progress in an industry, which is something we haven't been able to see before. And that might tell us about culture in a way that absolute management gender numbers don't.
I wonder, could it also tell us something about wages in those industries, though? Because a lot of women in low-paid jobs mm-hmm. in areas like healthcare, mm-hmm. If there's something about the progression there that women tend to swap later to try and get a better wage progression, because otherwise there's so many of them, they're stuck at a lower level for a longer time.
Possibly. That could, we can't quite, we, and unfortunately we don't have enough data in Australia to understand how much people are paid in different companies, and at least in the public data sets, outside of the executive level, that could be a factor. One of the things we think about that might be happening in some of those sectors is there might be professional differences. That is to say, your general staff might be, let's say, nurses in healthcare, and there might actually be a professional difference between the type of qualifications you need to be a nurse and the type of qualifications or the stream you go in when you want to become a manager. So there might be some of those types of structural ceilings sitting inside those companies. But the other thing that a lot of people sort of bring up when we talk about this is, are sectors that have a lot of women at their more junior levels just kind of complacent about this? Have they not had to think about it too hard? And is that one of the reasons that they're not, when they look at their pipeline, they think, look, I've got all of these women, I'm doing so well in diversity, we don't need to think about this too much. And then maybe they don't.
Old habits die hard.
Or they don't put the measures in place to make sure those women get through.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Zoe Whitten, Head of Environmental, Social and Governance Research at Citi, and she's just done this research. Just on that, the downfall, sort of tangent to it, the downfall of AMP Chair Catherine Brenner during the Banking Royal Commission was used by some at the time to push a little against getting more women on board. So I see, you can't just rush any woman on the boards. They've got to be have the qualifications. They've got to have the experience. Does that suggest to you there's still plenty of resistance to gender equality within business?
There's certainly pockets of resistance. And I suspect that's probably because your gender equality, let's say, agenda gets associated with a lot of other political positions and a sort of wider view of the world that sometimes is a little inimitable to some parties. And so you get a little bit of pushback on those fronts.
Okay, certainly did on that front. Zoe Whitten, thank you very much. Zoe Whitten, Head of Environmental, Social and Governance Research and Citi, just publishing this research today, which looks at not just the number of women in organisations, but the pipeline. And because that's important too, you get women in, but you've got to move them through and up the chain.